You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
9 straight losses for your Sacramento Kings. They fall to the Suns last night, 122-114. It's the first game in a while that I'm really ultimately not mad at. Expected the Kings to lose. At least they put up a good fight. It was a fun game, a good battle, an entertaining game. Kings ultimately came up short. We'll talk a little bit about that game. I was on with Carmichael Dave on Sports 1140 KHDK's morning radio show this morning, and we had a lot of great conversations. Two things that we talked about were the possibility of the Kings rehiring Dave Yeager as their head coach. It's probably never going to happen, but it led to a fun conversation. I can't play it for you, but I'm going to recap kind of the meat and potatoes of that conversation. Also, we talked about, are the Kings tanking and should the Kings consider tanking throughout the remainder of this season? Normally, I'm not a tanking guy, but I'm really starting to think about it. We'll discuss it all on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, yes, even during all the losing, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for the last 6 years. This is season number 7 for me, covering the Kings both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. 122-114, the final score last night as the Kings fell to the Suns in Phoenix. No surprise with that loss, but I am surprised by this stat. I don't know if this has ever been done in the history of the NBA. I'm certainly not going to go back and check because it would take way too long, but twice this season, twice in the same season, the Kings have lost 9 straight games after winning 7 out of 8 games exactly. 9 straight losses after winning 7 of 8, twice this season. I'm sure that's happened once, or maybe multiple times over multiple seasons for a team, but twice in the same year? That's pretty crazy. The least surprising part of this 9-game losing streak, at least for me, is that the Kings' 3 best games during this 9-game losing streak have been against the Bucks, the Jazz, and the Suns, the 3 best teams that they faced during this stretch. Of course, we know the bad teams that they've lost to, we know the shorthanded teams that they've lost to, but their 3 best performances being against the top 3 teams that they have faced is very on par and on brand for this Sacramento Kings team, who we've talked about a ton, likes to play to the level of their competition. There's not a lot from last night's game that I really want to talk about. The Kings got off to a slow start, were able to work their way back in quickly instead of falling into too deep of a hole like we've seen far too many times this season and during this losing streak, but they still had to play catch-up for a little bit of time. Now, the lead changed hands multiple times. There were opportunities for Sacramento to make a little bit and create a little bit of separation, but similar to a lot of these games during this losing streak, there was no point in this game, even when the Kings had a lead, that I felt that Sacramento was going to be able to pull it out. I was not surprised by it being close. 122-114, an 8-point win by the Suns is a little misleading because the game was closer than that for the most part. Suns were able to create a little bit of separation late. But overall, as a whole, this game went pretty much as I expected. Now, they got some good performances. I mean, they being the Sacramento Kings. 27 points, 8 assists, and 40 minutes played from De'Aaron Fox. I thought DeLon Wright looked really, really good in this game. Had 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists off the bench. And that's the DeLon Wright that the Sacramento Kings traded for. That's the DeLon Wright that many believe is a upgrade over Corey Joseph. And DeLon Wright having one more year left on his deal, the expectation is that he will be around still as that backup point guard or that bench primary ball handler going into next season. The expectation is that DeLon Wright is still going to be around. And he's capable of sharing the floor with Halliburton at times, sharing the floor with De'Aaron Fox at times to offer even a third ball handler in certain small lineups. So DeLon Wright performing well is really a good showcase for what the Kings can potentially have off of their bench next season. I think I said this on a past podcast. It might have been yesterday's podcast. I expect this Sacramento Kings roster to be completely different at the end of this offseason. I would not be surprised if over half of this current roster is no longer here. If Fox, Halliburton, Rashawn Holmes, Harrison Barnes, and DeLon Wright are the only names from this current roster that are on the team starting next season, it really wouldn't shock me. And I don't hate the idea of the Kings using the remainder of this season to kind of figure out which players they want to still stick with. That includes young players, including projects like Jamias Ramsey or Robert Woodard, Chris Silva, Kyle Guy, Chimezie Metu. They have to make decisions on them. So I'm not opposed to using this playing time throughout the remainder of this season to giving those guys looks and really deciding whether or not you want to invite them back to training camp next year. The Kings can't afford to have four or five roster spots taken up by fringe players that might be halfway decent someday. Not with the expectations going forward for this team. Now, some might think that giving those players opportunity and playing time would be tanking. And we're going to have a conversation about tanking towards the end of today's show. I don't consider it tanking because the Kings are already losing while trying to win right now. So my main point in our tanking conversation later is if the Kings were to quote-unquote tank, it wouldn't take drastic changes to get there. It doesn't mean that De'Aaron Fox is shut down for the remainder of the season, but it might mean that both Marvin Bagley and Rashawn Holmes are done. We'll talk about that more later. I do want to talk about De'Aaron Fox might needing to be shut down because of some injury that he's going to suffer with the way he's been clobbered over these last few games. And there was a moment in this Phoenix game that was an absolutely horrible no-call. And it's when De'Aaron was attacking the basket. Now, he finished the layup, but Jay Crowder, who was behind him, initially trying to contest the shot, decided just to kind of tomahawk slap the forehead and face of De'Aaron Fox. Now, do I think it was a dirty play? No, I don't think Jay Crowder intentionally meant to hit or punch De'Aaron Fox in the face by any means, but also watching the replay back, both slow motion and full speed, Crowder never had a chance of getting the ball. Never had a play at the ball. He swung wildly. So while I'm not going to say that he intentionally meant to target and hit De'Aaron Fox, I will say, by the rules, he did not have a play on the ball, therefore it should have been a flagrant foul. It wasn't even a common foul. And apparently, De'Aaron Fox had a conversation with the officials about it, and they must have told him that they didn't see it, because he tweeted out as much, retweeting the video of the incident on his Twitter account this morning. Plays like that can't happen. And look, De'Aaron Fox gets to the line more than we all think, and he doesn't often take full advantage of that with him shooting, I think, in the low 70s from the free throw line. But the frustration from the Kings with the refs over the last three games, some of it boils from this team just being terrible right now and needing an outlet to yell at. But a lot of it also comes from the lack of fair treatment. I'm not even going to call it star treatment. I'm just going to say fair treatment that De'Aaron feels he is receiving. A lack of fair treatment. And one of the things that bothered me about this play, it's the same thing that bothered me about when Chimezie Metu was pulled off the rim by, I believe it was Valanciunas earlier this season and fell, hurt his wrist, and had to miss weeks of the season. I'm bothered that nobody stepped up and said anything. I'm bothered that nobody came to the defense of the star who was slapped in the face. I'm also bothered that a little bit later in the game in the fourth quarter, Tyrese Halliburton was elbowed in the face and nobody said anything. And I'm not looking at the coaching staff, I'm looking at the players. I need someone to be willing to step up, get in the face of Jay Crowder and say, hey man, not cool. Don't touch my point guard like that. Or why don't you try and hit me and do that? I don't see anybody on this roster doing that. Standing up for their guys, lighting a spark in that way. I think this roster really needs that. And I think that's going to be a major hole that Monty McNair is going to emphasize filling come this offseason. It was good to see Marvin Bagley back on the bench, at least just to see him. He was in street clothes, still had his wrist in a brace, or his hand in a brace. Luke Walton said before the game he was not close to a return, just shut him down for the year. And I guess there's no need for him to rejoin the team. Just keep him in Phoenix. Let him stay there. He hasn't been with the team to this point since getting injured. Why change it now? I don't see any point in Marvin Bagley continuing to stay with the team for the remainder of the season when the likelihood is he probably won't be playing more than a couple of games, if that. Plus, we believe, I would say we know, but I want to be fair, we believe that both Marvin and the Kings want to move on. So I guess it's good to see him back, but I'm not buying the picture that the Kings are trying to paint. I tell you what I am buying is a new box of Built Bars. I only have one or two Built Bars left. I have to find a way to hide them from my wife so I can make them last the weekend. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar, even more delicious. They have 18 amazing flavors like cookies and cream, carrot cake, coconut almond, raspberry, my favorite mint brownie. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. And on top of being delicious, Built Bars are healthy. They're perfect for the health-conscious guy or girl. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie and low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber. They're also great for the keto diet. My mom is on the keto diet. I got her hooked on Built Bars. She, like my wife and I, will never go back. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off of your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, all one word, for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So this morning, filling in on Sports 1140 KHDK's morning show with Carmichael Dave, we had a lot of good conversations about the Kings and about multiple things around the sports world, around the NBA, MLB. You can go back on the KHDK app on radio.com or on the KHDK website and listen to the full show right now if you want, and I highly encourage you to do so. I really wish I could play the audio for you from Dave and my conversation because it's really good. I thought it was a really, really good, really intriguing conversation. Unfortunately, because of legal reasons and copyright, I'm not able to do that, but I will kind of paraphrase the conversation and really share my perspective, what I was trying to bring in that conversation. And it started with Carmichael Dave posing a really, really interesting idea or scenario. Now, we both prefaced this by saying this is not going to happen. It's never going to happen. I'm pretty confident in saying that. But Dave proposed the idea and caught me completely off guard with it. What if the Kings were to move on from Luke Walton and this coaching staff this summer, as we expect? And what if his replacement was to be Dave Yeager? What if the Kings in this new front office, now still same ownership, but this new front office led by Monty McNair, went and plucked Dave Yeager off of the Philadelphia 76ers bench and brought him back here to Sacramento? I want to hear your reaction to that, because my instant reaction was, hell yeah, I love the idea. Now, I think I'm going to be a bit in the minority there, because I know Yeager wasn't the most successful while he was here in Sacramento, but those of you who have listened to me on Locked On Kings for a while, especially back when Yeager was fired and Walton was hired, you know that I was not a fan of Yeager being let go. And this eventually led into a deeper conversation about how I feel that, in fact, how we all know that head coaches in the NBA are fall guys. And I don't like how undermined I feel NBA head coaches are. It's a position of prominence that has lost its significance in my mind over the last few decades of NBA basketball. There are still legendary coaches in this league. Greg Popovich, the first that comes to mind, right? But gone are the days of Jerry Sloan and Phil Jackson and even Rick Adelman, these coaches that have full autonomy, ultimate power, that also have the full respect of their players, of their ownership, and of their front office. And I don't think that's the most common thing in the NBA anymore. And in my mind, that needs to change. I'm going to back up a little bit, talk about Dave Yeager a little bit more. There are four major things that Yeager disagreed with someone here, mainly Vlade Divac in the front office, four major areas of contention between Yeager and the Sacramento Kings in his time here that ultimately led to him being fired, in addition to the players not liking him too much. Number one, Dave Yeager wanted Luka Doncic. Brandon Williams, Vlade Divac, and the Sacramento Kings, they selected Marvin Bagley. Number two is after the Kings selected Marvin Bagley, Dave Yeager, very similar to how he did with De'Aaron Fox, didn't want to start Bagley right away. Didn't want to give him a lot of playing time right out of the gate. Wanted him to come off the bench and earn it as a 19-year-old coming into the league with a lot on his shoulders as a number two pick. Regardless of what Luka was doing, Trae Young was doing, DeAndre Ayton, Jaren Jackson Jr., didn't matter. Dave Yeager felt that the best way to maximize the development of Marvin Bagley, even with the injuries, was to bring him off of the bench. I think he was right about that. So far, Yeager's two for two. Number three, when the Kings acquired Harrison Barnes, which was at the trade deadline of Yeager's last season, and we know the second half of that season kind of fell apart and it didn't work. Some of the players quit on Yeager. It just never worked out. Dave Yeager wanted to play Harrison Barnes at what he felt was his true position, which was the four spot. Now, at the time, I personally disagreed. I thought Harrison Barnes was a three, but where is HB playing right now, and where are most of his best minutes for the Sacramento Kings this season? Playing at the four. And then, the final one, and this got him into some trouble with that locker room, Dave Yeager and his relationship with Buddy Hield. Dave Yeager thought that Buddy Hield was a sixth man at best, that his best role, his primary role, should be that first scorer, that first option off the bench, that he was not a starter. And we saw that in the rotations that he built. Well, we also saw that Yeager wasn't afraid to yell at Buddy Hield, yell at De'Aaron Fox, yell at different players when they would make mistakes or take bad shots. Yeager would openly do that in front of everybody on the sidelines. He didn't care. He didn't really play favorites. And Buddy Hield, unfortunately, found himself in the crosshairs of that. Now, we know that led to a souring relationship between Yeager and Hield. We believe there was also a sour relationship between Yeager and Marvin Bagley. We believe there could have been a sour relationship between Yeager and De'Aaron Fox. We actually know that Yeager didn't have a ton of supporters in that locker room because of his abrasive, his brash style. Not to mention, he clashed and had a feud with assistant general manager Brandon Williams. What should have happened with that entire incident, what should have happened is right in that instance where Brandon Williams decided to take private information public, go to, I believe it was Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, and say, or and air all these disagreements, all these frustrations about Marvin Bagley's playing time and Dave Yeager, how he's handling Marvin Bagley. At that moment, Vlade Divac should have fired Brandon Williams and sent a clear message to his head coach that he's on his side, that he supports his head coach. The instant he didn't do that, Yeager lost everybody because Yeager no longer had power. It's in the same way how George Karl felt that he was undermined when he was here in Sacramento with how Vlade Divac and the Kings front office handled his clashes and his frustrations with DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins was not fined or suspended after his outbursts in front of everybody, including all of his teammates. It undermined the power of George Karl. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of George Karl. I am a big fan of Dave Yeager. And to me, this is where the discussion went with Dave this morning. To me, head coaches are undermined way too often in the NBA. In fact, I would say they're undermined more than any other coach in any prominent league, at least in American sports. NFL, MLB, I don't think they can hold a candle. NHL, they can't hold a candle to the NBA because it's so about the players, and the discrepancy of pay between stars and coaches is extreme. And of course, it's a lot easier to fire a coaching staff and move on from a coaching staff than it is to completely retool a roster. But at the same time, in the case of the Sacramento Kings, why in hell are you deciding to make personnel decisions, move on from a head coach to please a locker room full of players who haven't won or done anything yet? At least Dave Yeager has made the playoffs. He did it with the Memphis Grizzlies. And as we can see, Dave Yeager got the best out of this team. Dave Yeager's win pace in his final season was 39. Luke Walton's in his first season was like 36. And his win pace this season, I believe, if it was a normal 82-game season, is like 32. That's not progression, that's regression. Dave Yeager was right, and yet he got fired because he stuck to his guns. I think it should be more celebrated that there are head coaches like Dave Yeager in the league that say, you know what, front office, you do your job. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job. I'm going to make suggestions like I would have liked to have drafted Luka Doncic. I'll make suggestions, but you pick and sign and draft and trade for the guys that you want to trade for. You construct my roster. But once it's constructed, rotations, basketball decisions, those are mine. And if I don't do what you want, that is my right as the head coach. This is my team. Those are my decisions. And I will fall on that sword if I need to. Instead, how many head coaches do we see get fired after a couple of years for not doing what their front office wants to do? Or even more so, how many head coaches and coaching staffs do we see take the fall for front office ownership or player mistakes? I'm not Captain Save a Luke Walton here. I believe the Kings will move on from Luke Walton. It's getting more obvious with every passing day. And I wouldn't necessarily disagree with the fact that Luke Walton moving on is a good thing, or moving on from Luke Walton is a good thing for the Sacramento Kings. I probably wouldn't disagree with that. That being said, I'm not dumb enough to think that with Luke Walton being gone, all of a sudden all these players are going to learn how to play consistent basketball, that it's only Luke Walton's fault and not the fault of the front office ownership or the players for putting together this roster that just doesn't work together and is incapable of playing mature basketball for longer than five games at a time. I think head coaches need more power. I think they need more support. I think they need more respect. And quite frankly, I'm exhausted. I'm tired of the revolving door of head coaches here in Sacramento. Now, they're probably going to make another change. It's probably going to be necessary. Doesn't mean I'm not tired of it. And it also doesn't mean that I have faith that anything's going to change. Why should I believe that anything is going to change with a coaching change? Why? It's happened, what, 12, 13 times, something like that? since the Kings have last made the playoffs, why should I believe this time's going to be different, especially if this roster looks the same? Now, if you bring in a new head coach who is in the same wavelength of thinking as Monty McNair, maybe De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton are still here as your core and everything else is different, okay, I'm willing to give that a shot. But if you run this roster back for the most part, this core back with a new head coach, I have zero faith anything's going to change. Why? Because I know this roster is what it is. I know that these struggles are more than just Luke Walton's struggles. I know that this team failing to show up, walking around with an unearned swagger and getting punched in the mouth, I know that is their fault, not just Luke's. I know that this team is soft. I know that this team is mentally weak, and it starts with the guys actually playing the game, not the guy on the bench who I guess should be telling them to play it better. I wish head coaches were treated better in this league, but hey, I guess that's part of the job. Today's Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline is the official sports gambling partner of the Locked On Podcast Network with NBA action, the NHL, MLB, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And believe it or not, if you took the Sacramento Kings plus 12 last night, you won some money. Congratulations. Betting on the Kings actually resulted in a profit for you. Normally, betting against the Kings this season has resulted a profit for a lot of Locked On Kings listeners, but I hope you made some money last night. I hope you make money every night on betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. You can head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to take advantage of that offer. Get off the sidelines, get in on the action, make some money on BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Is it time for the Sacramento Kings to tank? I hate that word. You know I hate that word. But I hate myself even more for really considering it this year. So I'm going to change the perspective a little bit. You can call it tanking. I'm going to change the word to something else so I feel better, but it might be the overall same philosophy. As of right now, the Kings are tied with the Wizards and the Raptors at the 7th to 9th best odds at a top draft pick. So basically the 7th to 9th pick, the Kings are right in the middle. They're right at 8 in between the Wizards and the Raptors. However, the Kings are just a game and a half back, or I guess in this case, because they have more wins, they'd be a game and a half ahead of the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are tied for the 5th and 6th picks. The Kings have 3 games coming up against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You lose all 3 of those games, you surpass OKC, maybe take that 6th or 5th spot away. If you can get yourself into the top 5 in this draft, that might be a significant win. Here's how I'm looking at it. Again, I hate tanking. I hate the idea of a team intentionally trying to lose. But the way I look at it is Monty McNair and the Kings had a clear plan at the trade deadline. The plan was, look, we're going for the play-in tournament. We're going to take a little bit of a risk here. We're not going to sell high on some of our assets that we have. Instead, we're going to take on more money in an attempt to make this play-in push. Winning is all that matters. Well, since that point, the Kings, I think they've won 2 games. They've lost the rest. Now they're on a 9-game losing streak. It's safe to say the play-in tournament is out of sights. I mean, they would have to win 12 of their final 16 or so games, in my mind, to get in. It's not going to happen. So instead of continuing to bang your head against that same wall, instead of trying hopelessly to stick to the plan, instead of admitting you were wrong or admitting it failed, instead of doing that, why not try and salvage what you can out of the remainder of this season by putting yourself in the best position for tomorrow? And that best position includes better draft odds and a better idea of which players are going to be part of your future and which ones are going to be gone by the end of this upcoming offseason. Call it tanking if you want to. But to me, it's not going to require such a drastic move like benching De'Aaron Fox for this team to lose enough games to potentially catch Cleveland or OKC. This team is already trying to win right now and losing 9 in a row. They're going to lose 10 in a row after they fall to the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday. It's going to happen. Calling my shot. The Kings will lose to the Mavericks on Sunday, make it 10 in a row, their longest losing streak of the season. Why not use the remainder of this season? Play Tyrese Halliburton and De'Aaron Fox 25 minutes a night. Make sure they are on the floor together basically the entire time. Buddy Hield and his starting role be damned. I don't care. Give Robert Woodard time. Give Jamias Ramsey time. Give Kyle Guy time. Give Chimezie Metu time. Use these guys. Give them appropriate minutes. Try and keep games competitive with your rotation so they're not playing garbage blowout minutes. And look and analyze what you have and make a decision which pieces you want to go forward with and which you want to move on from. Salvage something from this season. Because the gamble that you made at the trade deadline, it's already failed. And instead of just sticking with it and being stubborn, switch it up. You have 16 games left. The goal can change for those final 16 games. Look, I believe that as long as there's a mathematic possibility, and as long as Luke Walton is still in charge, the Kings are going to go for as many wins as they possibly can. So I don't know if the Kings are going to take my advice or heed my desires and make the adjustments that I want to see. But I believe if the Kings continue to try on this path to make the postseason tournament and win at all costs, they'll probably win another few games. They might beat the Oklahoma City Thunder twice. They might beat the Timberwolves once or twice. They might beat the Grizzlies once or twice and steal another game here or there. Maybe. Maybe they get 5 to 8 more wins. But those 5 to 8 wins could be the difference between the Kings picking in the top 5, 6 through 8, or even 9 through 12. And once again, you're back at a worse lottery pick and sitting on your couch while 10 teams in the Western Conference compete for a playoff spot. And once again, you're not involved. What do you think about that? At Matt George Radio on Twitter, tweet me or DM me there, or you can email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I want to hear your thoughts on the idea of the Kings, I guess, quote unquote, tanking. I'm going to find a different word for it because I don't like that. Changing their strategy. Let's go with that. Your thoughts on my Dave Yeager conversation with Carmichael Dave and the power that head coaches lack that I'd like to see them get more of. Plus your thoughts, I guess, on Marvin Bagley being back with the team. The Suns game last night. Send it all to me at Matt George Radio on Twitter or email me mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Again, I believe the Kings will lose to the Dallas Mavericks on Sunday and they will be 0 for their last 10. Calling my shot there. Regardless of what happens, we will be back on Monday to recap the weekend's events and whatever stories come through, more conversations, I'm sure, on this tanking and maybe even on coaching philosophies and responsibilities. We can talk about it all. I hope you will join me next week. If you haven't left a review for this podcast, please do so. Best place to do so is on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Hit 5 stars. Leave a little blurb about what you like or don't like about the podcast. Constructive criticism is fine. Or you can use that box to help me attract fellow Kings fans who are looking for a podcast to help get them through the remainder of this season and the seasons, the offseason, and the games to come. I would really appreciate that. I would also appreciate you having a good weekend, staying safe, staying healthy. I can't wait to talk to you next week. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.